very likely that we take many things for granted. Just be able to get up this morning, the support that we had from our bed, to be in a house that didn't collapse, the foundation that was there, certainly the building of that house, the roads and bridges that we went on, to the support, the foundation that was there, to be able to get here to this building, which is holding up. It's a large building, and it hasn't fallen down yet. We take that for granted, don't we? As we think about our lives, you think about the universe, as vast and as magnificent, and all that power that is holding everything together, the sun, moon, and stars, all the galaxies, the solar system, everything that is out there. And we think about the power God spoke, and it happened. It came to be. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, talking about God spoke in times past in these other ways, but now he speaks through his Son. And one of those things was upholding all things by the word of his power. You think about the foundation of this world by the power of his word. Everything is holding together. Psalm 104 verse 5 says, he established the earth upon its foundations so that it will not totter forever and ever. As we've been talking about in this series on the spiritual blessings of being a member of the church, and as we think about the work and worship is in the local church, as far as we've obeyed the gospel, hopefully each and every one of us become members of the body of Christ. The Lord has us saved to the church. And now as we work and worship together, we think about the foundation that is there. Jesus prayed that we all might be one based upon the foundation of the word of God. And that we can have that unity, and that we talked about that we have, each and every one of us, a responsibility to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And as we think about the strength that we need to be able to do that, to accomplish that goal, to put on the whole armor of God, that we might stand firm against the schemes of the devil, so that we might fight the good fight of faith. And as we think about soldiers in the Lord's army, and to give strength to others, that we have the strength, we receive these blessings from others, that we're going to bless our brethren as a result. This morning, as we think about receiving these blessings from God, we have that strong and sturdy foundation. Brett, if you were here in the last hour and talking about in Daniel chapter 2 concerning the four world kingdoms, and in that fourth kingdom, the kingdom of Rome, in the days of those kings, God was going to set up a kingdom which would never be destroyed. Never be destroyed. We think about that strong and sturdy foundation that would have been prophesied in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 2 and Micah chapter 2, concerning the mountain of the Lord's house, and the word of the Lord would come from Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of that, where about 3,000 individuals were baptized. In Matthew chapter 16, and where we'll start off this morning, in Matthew chapter 16, we see the opinions of people during that period of time as Jesus asked the question about who do people say that the Son of Man is. And some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, but still others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Flesh and blood, human beings, were saying concerning what the opinions of people were. He said, but my Father who is in heaven, I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Not on Peter, but upon the foundational statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. The strong and sturdy foundation. God made those promises, fulfilled those prophecies hundreds of years beforehand. If he can bring the power through the Word of God and created this universe, certainly he can have the foundation of the church, which he said, I will build my church. And we see that he did. As the Lord added to the church daily, those who were being saved, Acts 2 and verse 47. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as you see a multitude of denominations out there, been established on man's authority, not on God's authority. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, ought to be a warning here to all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said, no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Wait a minute. Somebody says, well, isn't there a contradiction? The verse before, he said, according to the grace of God, which is given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. Oh, he laid a foundation based upon what? Jesus Christ. It wasn't the Apostle Paul. You see, St. Paul and names of churches. It was built upon the foundation of Christ. For as it continues in verse 10, and another man is building on it, but each man must be careful how he builds on it. In verse 12, he said, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it because it is revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, while he has built on it, remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So be very careful concerning the truth of God's word. In Ephesians chapter 2, as you look upon the foundation, I've been studying the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, as in this context, Jews and Gentiles being reconciled in that one body to God through the cross. They were enemies before, and now they're reconciled in Christ. They're no longer enemies, but friends in Christ, having the fellowship with God and with one another. Going down to verse 16, and in verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near, for through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. So then, verse 19, the application. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household, God's family. What have you been built upon? Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So notice concerning the foundation, the strong and the sturdy foundation, which is going to stand. Think about it's concerning another song that was, it shall stand. The kingdom of God is going to stand. It's going to stand forever. As we think about the Word of God and it standing here, we can have this foundation. The apostles and prophets aren't the foundation. The gospel, as you look upon going forth, the Holy Spirit guided them into all the truth. As John 14, verse 26, and John 15, verse 26, and John 16, and verse 13 talks about it. And so they were guiding all the truth. They preached the gospel. And they wrote it down, and so when we read it, we can understand that. And he says that in the next chapter, in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 4. When you read, you can understand my insight to the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets and the Spirit. So here's this word, the strong and sturdy foundation, depending upon every word, as you think about the church being established. And here, as you see, concerning the foundation, the whole building being fitted together, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. Figurative language that he's using here as you look upon foundations here. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Peter speaking to Christians here, listen to the word of God, and coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as what? Being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So you think about all the spiritual blessings and joy in Jesus Christ, and the description that we are making holy sacrifices acceptable to God. How are we doing that? By being obedient to the word of God. Those who are disobedient, as he said here, they rejected Christ. And as far as not a part of this living stones. So we all want to be living stones. And we want to be useful in the service of our Lord as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation and a people for God's own possession. As we proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaking to Timothy here, he said, in case I am delayed, I write to you so that you will know how one ought to conduct himself in the household of God, which is what? What is the household of God? Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and support of the truth. And so as we think about, again, the simple illustration concerning Christ being the head and we are the body. We're responding to the head's directions. As we are foundation, our foundational, he's laid the foundation of the church, and each and every member is being a part of that body and that function and how we are to behave in that body. So many individuals just look at the church as being the building, and it's the people, it's the family of God, the spiritual family of God. As you look in Acts chapter 20, as we warn, as we had the warning back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 concerning building upon that foundation, and the Apostle Paul is warning the elders at Ephesus here, the shepherd, the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood back in Acts 20, verse 28. For here there are going to be problems in the future. So what about the foundation, that strong and sturdy foundation? Here's the discouraging news. He said in verse 29, I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. So coming from the outside and coming from the inside, even among the eldership, from the leadership at Ephesus there. So the warnings here, verse 31, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. As you think about the gospel and the foundation, the word of God, which is able to what? In the next verse, all this discouraging news. What did he tell them to do? You think about troubles and difficulties in the church. The Apostle Paul did his best to warn them with tears, with concern for their precious souls. He said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. What is the word of his grace able to do? Which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. When you look at troubles in the church and difficulties in the church, and you think about, well, the church has failed. As you look upon the scriptures has failed. No, the scriptures hadn't failed. It's those who are disobedient to the word. Those who are seeking to draw away the disciples after them. Others coming in, and the devil using these individuals to try to destroy the church. And the whole thing about it is that the word of his grace is able to build you up. So don't be discouraged as you look upon the foundation of the word of God. You receive these spiritual blessings in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3 through 14, and thus we can be a blessing to our brethren. In Hebrews chapter 11, you look at those from the Old Testament. In Hebrews chapter 11, as we would call it, the hall of faith here. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see the examples of Abel and Enoch and Noah. And here Abraham in verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. How could he do that? By faith, by the word of God. Verse 9, by faith he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Verse 10, what was he looking for? He was looking for the city which has what? Which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. That's what he was looking for. And thus, as we think about the song, one of the songs we sang, in his arms, he carries them all day long. Again, praise him that we sang. In Deuteronomy chapter 33, in the death address of Moses to the Israelites, in verse 27, the eternal God is a dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he drove out the enemy from before you and said, destroy. God isn't going to fail, as you think about concerning his words, to those who are obedient to him. We sing that hymn concerning leaning on the everlasting arms. Do we trust and depend upon that? Yes, and thus, as we have received these blessings, we understand that strong and sturdy foundation. Hopefully each and every one of us have that. But we know that there are those who are weaker in the body of Christ. And be a blessing to your brethren here. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. We read Ephesians 2, 19 through 22. We're going to emphasize Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22 in this passage. And the connection with receiving these blessings from God and being a blessing to another and one another. Here we're fitted together, growing into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. And when you think about this word, oikodomeo, and actually it's soon oikodomeo, building together. In Christ we can do that. As Christ is the cornerstone, we have the foundation for the church. And thus we can build someone else up to help them to stand, to be strong and sturdy. That's the definition of that Greek word, where oftentimes you see built together or edified. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we mentioned this passage the other time, as far as, hey, we're building each other up. We're edified. We heard edification in the last hour from the Word of God and studying the book of Revelation. Edification in the Word of God. Not in the word of men. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. So as we think about concerning building each other up in everything, we think about how we're going to do that. We're going to do that by speaking the word of God. Can you think of anything better? If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. So you think about those who are weak, those who are down, We support them and encourage them to be able to stand. We talked earlier about putting on the whole armor of God that we might stand firm against the schemes of the devil. And the way that we're going to do that is speaking the word of God. Thus, that will encourage them. That will build them up. They have the right mindset as far as you think of how much as you talk to individuals and speaking the truth in love. A smile or a hug, a word of encouragement, a card, a phone call, going by and visiting, supporting and building one another up in Jesus Christ. We read 1 Peter 2, verses 4 through 10. Don't we all desire to be supported? Now, we're not going to support those who are in error. Because the difficulty is, as we think about fighting the good fight of faith and the persecution that comes, the temptation is to be weak and compromise and support the evildoer. Maybe not support them so much, but we're not going to stand up for what is right. Each and every one of us, as you think about the foundation of the Word of God, the foundation of the church is built upon the living Word of God, of Jesus Christ being the Son of God, which is going to stand forever, and that we can encourage each other and build up one another to stand on the truth of God's Word. We can do that. We can encourage each other in that. But not err and compromise with error. Now you think about how important it is. The Apostle Paul was a human being. Sometimes we don't look at that as you look upon the apostles and all that they suffered through and how could they possibly do that? Well, the Apostle Paul is about to be executed. Now he had confidence concerning his salvation. We mentioned that last week in 2 Timothy 4 verses 6 through 8. And this is how we can have confidence in his word. But here as you look upon his defense in verse 16, he said, at my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. Now think about it, that you have done all that is right in preaching the gospel. You look upon Jesus as he stood alone, and for those who are saying, crucify him, and here he had done all these miracles before all these individuals, even healing very likely some of those that were sick or some of their relatives. And here there was nobody supporting him. Of course, we knew God was with him, but we're all alone. The whole thing is that for those that might support the Apostle Paul, that they might be executed too or put in prison. Sometimes we might forget about the fearful aspect. But as you look upon the Apostle Paul, even if nobody else supports you, can you do it? Can you do it alone? Can you do it alone at school or at work or with your neighbor? Nobody else is around supporting you. You have the truth and you're standing for the truth and telling the truth to others. You can stand alone. The Apostle Paul, look at his attitude and mindset. Even as no one supported him. Can we do this too? He said, may it not be counted against them. How many times do you think about in the past concerning nobody else is standing for the truth and it looks like you're the only one? That might be the circumstance in some places. But it's amazing what one person can do. Through the Lord, one person can help save a congregation. One family can make such a big difference in the congregation. I'm not saying about here, but as you think about maybe in other difficult circumstances that you've been involved in, because you had the understanding of the Word of God concerning maybe a difficult issue and you were willing to stand for the truth and others are willing to stand for the truth with you based upon the foundation of the Word of God. You can do that. You can do that. The Apostle Paul knew this in verse 17. He said, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As you think about concerning what a blessing to a brethren, maybe you think about other brothers and sisters in Christ that stood for the truth. And you're so very thankful as you think about the past and those who are willing to stand for the truth. And maybe you weren't there yet, but you saw that example. And as a result, you imitated them as they imitated Christ. And thus now you are a blessing to your brethren as a result too. And Timothy, last thing he says to Timothy, he said, verse 21, make every effort to come before winter. Make every effort. Very likely as you think about God's providence, think about Timothy concerning being a blessing to his brother in Christ, fellow soldier in Christ. You know that he made every effort to be there with Paul. We don't know if he actually made it there, but as we look upon supporting or building one another up in Christ. So be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? It doesn't look to be that way sometimes. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in what? In the Lord, in the Lord. Also, as you think about blessings from God, to have an intercessor. In Isaiah chapter 53, Noah's talking about the Messiah here, the suffering servant. And in the midst of that, in Isaiah 53, verse 12, the scripture says, I will allot him a portion with the great. He will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. You think about Jesus, and this is exactly what happened in Luke chapter 23. And as Jesus is suffering through agonizing pain, they're saying, come down from the cross and we'll believe you. Mocking him. He's already been through scourging. And here in Luke 23, in verse 34, he being crucified with the criminals, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. They know not what they are doing. But you're thankful as you think about the sacrifice of Christ, interceding on behalf of those who were wicked. As you think about concerning, he prays for Peter that his faith may not fail. Remember, he denied him three times and he knew that was going to happen. I pray for you that your faith may not fail. And once you have turned again, you go strengthen your brethren. And thus, what did he do? That's what he did. He strengthened his brethren. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul speaking in Romans chapter 8, if God is for us, who is against us? In verse 32, how did he demonstrate that? Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. We think about the power of the Word of God, the power of prayer. We think about all the times as we think about being a spiritual blessing. We sing sometimes a song, ere you left your room this morning, did you think to pray? As you think about it, the only way that we'll be able to go to God is through Jesus Christ. We can't talk directly to God. It's just amazing when you hear other individuals and they'll pray in your holy name. They'll pray in God's name. That's not going to work. It's got to be through the name of Christ. He intercedes on our behalf. In Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Do we have this confidence? Do we have this boldness? Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Why? Because sometimes we waver. We might compromise. We're going through difficulties. We're suffering. How are we going to deal with that? We can hold fast our confession. Think of Jesus and what he had done. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence. Notice the let us, the plural there. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive what? So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We want mercy and grace to help in our time of need. And how many multitude of times has God granted that? How many prayers have been answered on our behalf? Because we have a great high priest who has passed the heavens. These spiritual blessings we enjoy in Christ. In Hebrews chapter 7, Jesus holding his priesthood permanently, unlike those in the Old Testament. Therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. What? How? Since he always lives to make intercession for them. Do we have total confidence concerning God hearing and answering our prayers? Didn't turn out the way that I desired, the way that I wanted. He answered our prayers. We're a faithful Christian. He hears and answers our prayers in accordance with his will. Especially if you think about concerning salvation, that he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him. And this is how we can be a blessing to our brethren, to intercede on their behalf through Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, not only brethren, but we think about all people. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, the Apostle Paul, speaking to Timothy, said in verse 1, first of all, that I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. So the connection concerning him being our intercessor and also our mediator, to whereby we can go to God through Jesus Christ. Jesus died for all people. We want all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, you say, well, that's impossible. As we studied in the last hour concerning, it's possible by the grace of God, Jesus tasted death for everyone. And thus we want to be that example. And so we pray on behalf of others. We pray for those in authority that we might lead that tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity, that the gospel might have a free reign. He said, this is good and acceptable, because he desires that. He desires all people be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as we talk specifically about brethren in James chapter 5, in James chapter 5, in verses 16 through 18, James 5, 16 through 18, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man, or righteous person there, righteous person can accomplish much. Imagine as you think about one person and many persons praying on behalf of others. That's why it's so important as you look and think about the announcements and praying for our brothers and sisters in Christ, praying for them. As you look upon verse 16, that we are confessing our sins to one another, praying for one another that you might be healed. The example that he gives concerning the effective prayer of a righteous person, here verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah might appear like Superman to others, how he survived during the famine, during those three and a half years or so, being fed by a raven. God provided for him. Yes, he was a real living human being. And what did he do? And he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it didn't rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Think about concerning interceding on behalf of others, and it's long-suffering sort of thing, because sometimes it doesn't appear that anything is going on. But the effect of prayer of a righteous person can accomplish much. Being a blessing to the brethren, because maybe their circumstances aren't getting better. But you know what? You can help hold them up. You can help strengthen them. You can help support them and let them know that we haven't forgotten about them are those who are shut in. Donna and Dorothy is obviously sick. She's not here. Evelyn, Tom and Shirley, Thompson, it's in Donald Lewis. These others, individuals that we have missed for quite a long time. And we don't forget them, and we help to encourage them. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul, in the midst of talking about putting on the whole armor of God, well, putting on the whole armor of God would include prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, after he mentioned the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, he said, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. For all the saints. Be a blessing to your brethren. And as we think about the word of God going forth, we'll have more to say about this in detail. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying at the same time for us as well, that God will open to us a door for the word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been in prison, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak, as you pray for the preaching of the gospel, that it be clear, understandable, because that's what God desires, that it be understood. When you read it, you can understand it. So when it is spoken, it needs to be understood, and people make the application to their lives. As a result, be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, or be restored. And the application to the brethren, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. Intercede on behalf of others through Christ as we are encouraging them. That maybe as you look upon your life, how many times you hear about individuals, brothers and sisters in Christ, because they were persecuted one time, they fell away. That's happened multitude of times. But as we understand concerning the gospel going forth, and to pray for open doors for all of us as the gospel is going forth, as you are being the light of the world and being the salt of the earth, so that others might be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And not to give up or quit, but every day of our lives, we are with joy spreading the word of God. Because as we look upon it, it's nice to have those who have placed membership. But as we are united, love one another, and stand for the words of truth, we want to grow numerically too, obviously. So we're giving that encouragement as you think about spiritual blessings of being a member of the local church and in this avenue where we work and worship together. As we are gathered together, we are encouraging one another towards love and towards good deeds. As you look upon your life, you look upon so many looking for the world's support. And sad to say, especially as you look upon young people, they don't see, all they see maybe is elderly people, and that's in a lot of congregations. You know them, I know them, and here maybe they're the only one in everything, and they think, well, the world's won, and Christ and his church has lost. No, the whole thing is, what happens? Here, a person decides to go into the world and get the support of all the world. And you can get all the Facebook friends you want and all the support of the world. Go after the popularity, prosperity, power, prestige. Chasing after riches and worldly friends and keg parties. Pill popping and dope smoking. Bed hopping, drunk driving. Addictions, hallucinations, hospitalization. Or maybe even being in prison and jail. It's going to eventually end along with your life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, is foolishness. And how many have gone down that path? It just might be like the one who was told, this day your soul may be required of you. Don't go down that path. Obey the gospel while you're still young. have the time and opportunity to serve the Lord, marry a faithful Christian, raise up godly children that will serve the Lord, and have generations that will be the salt of the earth and be the light of the world. You can do that. You look upon the prodigal son, he had to lose everything before he finally came to his senses and realized concerning his father was taking care of his hired hands, and he's starving to death, desiring the pig slop. He came to his senses. He came to his senses and said, I have sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. You think about the gospel going forth, and you look upon the Philippian jailer. He's on the brink of committing suicide. The apostle Paul, you know, he's praying in prison. And you know he wasn't praying for his release because he could have just easily escaped. I think by necessary inference we could say he's praying for his salvation and he has the opportunity. We're all here. Stop. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. And he spoke the word of the Lord to him. Philippian jailer washed their stripes, showing demonstration of repentance, and he and his household are baptized. You can do that. Are you free from your sins? Are you still in bondage to sin? Or are you headed down the path? You're not interested in spiritual things. It's a terrible road, for the way of the transgressor is hard. If you have received all the spiritual blessings in Christ, are you being a blessing to your brethren by building them up with the words of eternal life, or tearing them down with the sinking sands of man's word? For you look at many are going to call Jesus Lord. We've done all these things in your name. And Jesus will say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. We're all going to have storms in our life. Who is the one's going to be standing? Only those who hear and obey the words of Jesus. Building your house on the rock, not on the sand. So as you think about concerning the practical application, being doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves, as we're looking at the perfect law of liberty, are we putting these things into practice? Yes, I realize it takes self-control, the fruit of the Spirit, but you can do it. If you received all the spiritual blessings in Christ, are you interceding on behalf of brethren so that God will open up doors of opportunity so that souls might be saved? You take advantage of those opportunities and others? That God will provide them grace and mercy to help them in their time of need, and you might be able to help them in their time of need, or you're only concerned about yourself. Today is the day of salvation. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Or if you're going down the wrong path, you can be restored through repentance and prayer, as Simon the Sorcerer did in Acts chapter 8. Judgment day is coming. Are you ready? If not, God calls. We encourage you to come right now as you stand and sing.